Ma'raj is mentioned in the Quran in various places. We see allusions of the journey in various places, but the two main places that sort of refer directly to it, one is Surah Bani Israel, which is Surah Al-Isra, in Ayah 1, and we find also the reference in Surah Al-Najm, verses 12 to 18. Let's first look at both of these references. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريحه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Glorified be he who carried his abd at night from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, the precincts of which we have blessed, so that we may show him of our signs. Indeed, he is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. Now, immediately when we read this ayah, we know that this journey is bodily and spiritually, not just a spiritual pilgrimage. Because Allah immediately says, "Bi abdihi," meaning his abd, which is used to mean both the body and spirit. He didn't say "bi ruhihi," meaning the soul of Muhammad only. And in Surah Al-Najm, we find Ma'raj explained more in detail. You know, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Quraysh about Mi'raj, and he said, "I saw the angel of revelation in his original and pure state." Now this was in Ba'fat. The Quraysh mocked him. The Quran, in response to the thoughts of these people, says, "أَفَتُؤْمَرُونَهُ عَلَى مَا يَرَى وَلَقَدْ رَعَاهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ صِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَحَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى إِذْ يَغْشَى الصِّدْرَةَ مَا يَغْشَى مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا تَغَى لَقَدْ رَعَى مِنْ آيَةِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى." Will you then argue with him about what he saw? He certainly saw Jibra'il during his other ascent to the lote tree in the seven heavens, near which is Jannah, when the tree was covered with a covering. Muhammad's eyes did not deceive him, nor did they lead him to falsehood. He certainly saw the greatest signs of the existence of his Rabb. Now, before I go further, let's just look at an overview of the Mi'raj. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins this journey with his with the angel Jibra'il from the house of Ummahani. Ummahani is the sister of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now this is in the city of Makkah. Her house is very close to the Kaaba. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone there to do iftar. He had fasted. Now, on a transportation mode called Buraq, and Buraq is very close to the word Barq, which is lightning. So let's see a mode of transport that goes faster than the speed of light. He travels to Baytul Muqaddis, known as Masjid al-Aqsa. He disembarks there, visits various places inside the masjid, also visits Baytul Ham or Bethlehem, the birthplace of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, in addition to other landmarks which are associated with the other prophets. He even recites two rakat salah in some of these places. In the next stage of the journey, he travels from this spot to the heavens, where he witnesses the celestial bodies and the entire universe. He converses with the spirits of the previous prophets and the angels, and sees at close hand both Jannah and Jahannam, and the various stages and levels of the people of Jannah and Jahannam. Continuing his journey, he reaches the region which we see in Surah Al-Najm, known as Sidratul Muntaha, a place of grandeur and magnificence, and returns back through Baytul Muqaddis to Mecca. Now on the return trip, he comes across a trade caravan from the Quraysh who have lost one of their camels which they're searching for. He partakes of their water, and by the rising of the morning sun, he comes back to the house of Ummahani. He tells her about it. In the evening, in a gathering of the people of the Quraysh, he tells them about the secrets of Mi'raj, and the words of this travel, this narration of this incident, goes from mouth to mouth. And the Quraysh get very upset, and as is their normal habit, they belie him. A man stands up and asks people if they've seen anybody who's seen Baytul Muqaddis, and they can describe it. Rasulullah describes the physical particularities of Baytul Muqaddis, in fact even informing them of the caravan from whom he drank some water, who just after that come into Mecca and relate exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. Mi'raj is a very important event. Now, I'm going to take the information from a book compiled by Mullah Muhammad Faiz al-Qashani, and it's been translated into English by one of our most brilliant translators and somebody who works very hard in the field of da'wah, Salim Bimji. Allah Kashani writes that some people say that the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place during a sleep, while others say that Mi'raj was spiritual. But, you know, besides the ayah of Quran that I've stated, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, during the Mi'raj, I met up with my various prophets. I saw the angels. I saw Jannah and Jahannam. I was brought to the Arsh and reached Sidratul Muntaha. I met people in Jannah who were being showered with the blessings of Allah. I saw people in Jahannam who were being punished by the harshest types of punishment. I was also informed as to why they were in such a state. And, you know, as far as the human being is concerned, normally the human being tries to reject anything he or she does not understand. This is very, very clear. This was a physical journey. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Jibra'il, Mikael and Israfil brought Buraq to the Prophet. One of these held Buraq, while the other one held the saddle, and the third the clothing of the Prophet while he was ascending it. And as the Prophet mounted on this mode of transport, its entire body started to tremble. Jibrail pointed with his hand towards Buraq and told him, keep calm. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no other Prophet had ever ridden you, and after him, no one like him will ever ride on you again. And Buraq becomes tranquil. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues. He says, we were continuing when I heard someone called me by name. I did not pay any attention to it and continued on our course. Then I heard somebody again call me. I saw a woman whose hands were uncovered and all the beauties of the world were with her. She said, Muhammad, I have something to say to you. I paid no attention to her. Then I heard a sound which really scared me. That too I ignored. After some time, Jibrail stopped me and said, perform the salah. I performed my salah. Jibrail said, do you know where you have just prayed? And I said, no. He said, in Medina, the place where your travelers will go. And after that, I got to Buraq and we continued our journey. Once again, Jibreel stopped us and he said, Muhammad, perform your salah. I dismounted and I performed Turaqat Salah. And he said, do you know where you prayed? And he said, this is the mountain of Sinai where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Musa. This is Rasulullah stating this journey, how he described it. He said, I ascended Buraq again and continued on my way until Allah would decree something else. He said, shortly afterwards, Jibreel said again, get down, Muhammad, and recite Salah. And then asked him, do you know where you've just prayed? And he said, it was Baytul Ham or Bethlehem, the place which is near Baytul Muqaddis, where Prophet Isa alayhi salam was born. He said, we then reached Baytul Muqaddis. I proceeded to tie the reins of Buraq to the same ring that the great prophets before me used to tie their modes of transport to. After this, I entered the masjid and I met the souls of Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and the rest of the prophets. They gathered around me. We proceeded to get ready for Salah. I had no doubt that the Salah would be led by Jibrail. However, he said, when the lines for Salah were being formed, Jibrail placed his hand on my shoulder and pushed me forward. He said he too took part in the Salah behind me. He said, Jibrail also explained to me about the woman who called out to me and asked me, did you speak to her? And he said, no, I did not speak to her. And Jibreel said, the woman was the physical manifestation of the world. If you would have answered or spoken to her, your ummah would have preferred this world over the akhirah. He said, I told Jibreel about the sound that really frightened me. And Jibreel said, the sound was from a rock which had been thrown into the fire of Jahannam 70 years ago and just now landed in its spot and settled. Rasulullah said, we continued our trip to the heavens until we reached the upper atmosphere of the world. I saw an angel named Ismail. He was the custodian of Khitfa, which the Quran mentioned in Surah Al-Safat. This is Surah number 37, ayah 10. Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ خَتَفَ الْخِطْفَةَ فَأَتْبَعْهُ شِحَابٌ ثَاقِبٌ. Some of those who covertly steal words from the heavens are pursued by a glistening flame. Ismail opened the door and we entered into the heavens. I greeted him. He greeted me and prayed for mercy to be showered on me. And he said, welcome, O great prophet. He said, at the time, a group of angels greeted me. All of them were smiling, except one. He didn't have any sign of happiness on his face. His name was Khazin. We were all awed by him. Jibreel says, this is the angel who ignites the fire of Jahannam. From the time that Allah has appointed him as the one who would ignite this fire, he has never smiled. جوزي خازين وأست whether he had my permission to show me the fire of Jahannam, and Jibreel said, yes. When Khazin lifted up the cover, I said, Jibreel, tell the angel to cover up the fire. We then saw a muscular man. Who is this? I asked. Jibreel said, he is your father, Prophet Adam, Abu al-Bashr. Prophet Adam alayhi salam said, a pleasing aroma is coming from your body, Muhammad. And he said, I read the following surah to him. This was ayah 18 to 28 of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Surah number 83. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kalla inna kitab al-abrar lafi liyin wa ma adraka ma aliyun kitabun marqum yashhaduhu al-mukarrabun inna al-abrar lafi na'im ala al-araik yanzurun ta'rifu fi wujuhihim nadratan na'im yusqawna min rahiqin maqtum khitamuhu misqun wa fi dhalika falyatanafasil mutanafisun wa mizajuhu min tasnim aina yashrabu biha al-mukarrabun. The records of the deeds of the virtuous one will be in Iliyin. Would that you know what Iliyin is? It's a comprehensively written book of records. The ones nearest to Allah will bring it to public. The virtuous will live in bliss, reclining on couches, reviewing the bounties given to them. You can trace on their faces the joy of their bliss. They will be given pure drink out of sealed containers which have the fragrance of musk. This is the kind of place for which you should really aspire. With the drink is one from a spring of Tasneem, the nearest ones to Allah will drink from it. I greeted Adam alayhi salam, he said. He too greeted me. Then he said, we continued on our way until we saw an angel sitting down, and in his hand was a tablet of light. The angel looked at what was written on the tablet with sadness, paid no attention to what was happening around him. I asked Jibreel, who is this? He said, this is the angel of death, Malakul Maut. He's busy taking the souls of people. I said to Jibreel, take me closer to him. We went closer to him, and Jibreel introduced me to him. I greeted him. He said, O Muhammad, give the glad tidings to your ummah, since I see good and moral works only from them. I thanked Allah because of this blessing, and said to him, this was the grace of my Rabb. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Malakul Maut, Israel is his name. Do you see where the people are? He says, yes. I see the entire universe in front of me. Allah gives me the permission to have complete awareness over them. They are to me like a coin in the hand of a person, such that any way he wants to hold the coin, he can. There is not a single house which I do not visit 5 times a day. And I say to each of these people, do not cry over your deceased, because I will continually come and go from your house until the time comes when not a single person will remain there. He said, I asked Jibreel, is death enough for the one who faces trials and tribulations? And Jibreel said, the trials are greater after death, O Muhammad. We continued our journey when we saw a group of people in whose hands were dishes with good and bad food. And they were only eating from the bad side. And I said, what is the problem with them? Why are they only eating the bad and putrid food? And Jibreel said, these are the people who used to eat forbidden food. He said, after that, I saw an angel whose physique was different. One half of his body was fire, the other half was ice. Even stranger than this was the fact that neither the heat of the fire made the ice melt, neither did the coldness of the ice put out the flames. With a very quiet voice, he said, I praise the one who is sufficient to praise, such that the heat of this fire does not melt the ice, nor does the cold of the ice put out the fire. O Allah, O the one who has placed such a thing between the fire and ice, place agreement and love between the hearts of your abd. I asked Jibreel about him, and he said, Allah has appointed him as the angel who offers advice to the believers on earth and is the guardians of the heavens and the earth. From the time this angel was created, he has been praying for people on earth. There are also two other angels in this heaven, one of them always this dua, saying, Ya Allah, whosoever gives a contribution or donation in your way, have rahmah on them, while the other one says, destroy those who are miserly and who do not share. He said, then We approached a group of people whose lips were like the lips of camels, large in size, and they were being cut with scissors. The meat that had been cut was then forced back into their mouths. And I said, Jibreel, who are these people? And he says, these are the people who used to backbite, who used to look for faults in their believing brothers and sisters. You see, I saw another group of people whose skulls were being crushed with rocks. Who are these? He says, these are people who used to go to sleep without praying their Salat al-Isha. I saw a group of people where fire was being poured into their mouths and it was coming out. And Jibreel says, these are people who took the property of orphans unlawfully. I saw others whose stomachs were so large that they couldn't even move. And when I asked about them, these were people who took riba, who followed the ways of the people of Fir'aun. And every morning and evening fire was given to them, and they say, Ya Allah, when will the day of judgment take place so that we may have some respite from this which is taking away our strength? Continuing on our journey, so he said, we saw angels who were praising Allah in various ways. He said, I saw two people who resembled each other. And Jibreel said, this is Yahya and Isa, two prophets and cousins of one another. We then went to the third heaven, and there I saw a man who had more excellence and virtues than anyone I had seen. He was amazing to look at, for the Prophet describes him as one who glowed like the moon on the 14th of a month. And he said, I asked Jibreel, who is he? And he said, this is Yusuf. So Prophet Idris, Prophet Harun, and then a really tall person. Say, this was on the sixth heaven. And the man said, the Bani Israel say that I am the best of the children of Islam. However, this man, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is much better and beneficent in the sight of Allah than I am. In the seventh heaven, he said, I saw a man who was sitting at the door of Baytul Ma'amur. And I asked, who is this? And Jibreel said, this is your father, Ibrahim, and your house is in this place, as well as people from your ummah who have taqwa. He said, immediately, I read ayah 68 of Surah Al Imran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna awla nasa bi Ibrahima lalladhina tata'uhu wa hadha an-nabiyya walladhina amanu wallahu waliyul mu'mineen. Indeed, the best people to Ibrahim are those who follow him and those who follow the Prophet Muhammad and those who believe, and Allah is a guardian for the believers. So in this heaven I saw rivers of light, such that the light that was coming from them made the eyes blind. I also saw rivers that were covered with ice, and the sound of thunder crashing could be heard. So I was looking at them when Jibreel said, Muhammad, thank Allah for the grace and bounties that have been chosen for you. Immediately said, I said, Ya Allah, the truth of your power and glory, keep my faith firm. And said, I said to Jibreel, this is so beautiful. And Jibreel said, this is just a portion of the creation of your Rabb, who has created everything, some of which you have seen and some of which you have not even seen then. He said, we continued on our path until we reached the end of the seventh heaven. And here I saw an angel who was glorifying Allah, saying, Subhana Rabbi, haythuma kuntu la tadri ayna rabbuka min al-adhimi sha'anuhu. Wherever I may be, glory is to my Rabb. I do not know where your Rabb is due to what is due to my Rabb due to his great status. And the angel had wings that if they were to spread open, they would cover the east and the west of the universe. Every morning he opens his wings. He cries out, Subhanallah al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhanallah al-Kabir al-Muta'al, La ilaha illallah al-Hayy al-Qayyum. Glory be to Allah, the King, the Holy. Glory be to Allah, the Great, the Most High. There is no God except Allah, the Living and the Self-Subsisting. And he says, whenever this angel would say this tasbih, all the peacocks on the earth would start to praise Allah and open their wings in this respect. When he was quiet, the peacocks on the earth would become quiet. He said, then we came to Baytul Ma'amur. Now Baytul Ma'amur is a replica similar of the Kaaba directly above it in the seventh heaven. So he says, we entered Baytul Ma'amur, I performed a two-rakah salah. And he said, as we entered the area, two rivers passed by me. One was Kawthar, and the other was a river of mercy, of Rahmah. I drank from the river of Kawthar, performed a ghusl at the river of Rahmah. He said I was then guided to enter into Jannah. And he says I saw my house, the ground and the earth of Jannah had the fragrance of musk and amber. He said in the rivers of Jannah, I saw an abd. He was there, and I said, who are you? Who are you for? And she said, I'm here for Zayd ibn Harith. When I saw Zayd, he said, I gave him the good tidings. He said, I saw the birds of Jannah. I saw pomegranates hanging on the trees. They were so large, so wonderful, incomparable to anything I had seen. He said, I saw a huge tree. If a bird were to fly around it for 700 years, they would not be able to go around the entire tree. He said there was not a single abode, a single house in Jannah in which one of the branches of this tree did not cover. And he said, I asked Jibreel, and he said, this is the tree of Tuba. You know, the one that's mentioned in Surah Ra'd, Surah number 13, Ayah 29, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tuba lahum wa hasuna ma'ab, Tuba shall be theirs and a goodly return. He said, all the houses of Jannah are under the shade of this tree. And he said, I asked Jibreel about all these things that we had witnessed and all the things that I had seen previously which had frightened me. And he said, these are the various levels and veils which are placed between Allah and his creations. If the curtains were not there, then the arsh of Allah would be visible. However, it's not possible for any of his creation to see his nur. He said, we then reached an area known as Sidratul Muntaha. We saw a place where there was a tree whose probably whose one leaf would be able to cover an entire nation. And he said, then I went to the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran, in Surah An-Najm, this is again Surah 53, Ayah 9, where the measure of two bows or closer still, فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى, basically means a place where it is so close that it's inseparable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out saying, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. This is verse 285 of Surah Al-Baqarah. The Prophet believes in that which his Rabb has revealed unto him. He said, on behalf of myself and my ummah, I said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلِهِ. And the believers too, they all believe in Allah and His angels and His book and His messengers. We do not differentiate between any of His messengers. وَقَالُوا, and they say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. We hear and we obey our Rabb. Your forgiveness do we crave, and to you is the eventual coming. Allah then said, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Allah does not impose upon any soul a duty but to the extent of its ability, for it is the benefit of what it has earned and upon it the evil of what it has wrought. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I said, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Our Rabb, do not punish us if we forget or make a mistake. And Allah said, لَا أُؤَخِذْكَ, I will not punish you. He said, then I continue to say, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِثْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Our Rabb, do not lay on us burden as you did lay on those before us. And Allah said, لَا أَحْمَلَكَ, I will not lay upon your burden. Rasulullah said, I once again said, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا تَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَغَفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Our Rabb, do not impose upon us that which we have not the strength to bear, and pardon us and grant us protection. Have rahma on us. You are our patron. Help us against the people who cover up the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَعْتَيْتُكَ ذَلِكَ لَكَ وَلَأُمَّتِكَ. Indeed, I have bestowed this upon you and to your nation. This is a dua that Rasulullah asked for in Ma'raj for the Ummah. We find it in the, we call it Amun al-Rasul, in the last ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. Imam Jafar Sadiq said, never has anyone more noble than Rasulullah attained the honor of such closeness. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Sadiq says, ask from Allah a dua for his ummah, saying, Ya Allah, whatever specialities you have given to your prophets, bestow upon me too. And Allah said, O Muhammad, I give you two du'as which are under my throne. أني لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا منجى منك إلا إليك. There is no power or strength except with Allah. There is no savior for you except from Him. And the other dua which Rasulullah was instructed to recite morning and evening is Allahumma inna dhulmi asbaha mustajiran bi'afwik wa dhanbi mustajiran bi-maghfiratik wa dhulli mustajiran bi-wajhik al-baqi alladhi la yafni. Oh Allah, indeed I appeal for relief from my oppression through your pardon. I appeal for relief from my sins through your forgiveness, and I appeal for relief from my own insignificance through your everlasting countenance, which will never cease to exist. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then I heard the sound of Adhan. An angel in the heaven was announcing Adhan. Up till now I had not heard Adhan being called from the heavens. He said, when the angel said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah said, my servant has spoken the truth, I am the greatest. Then the angel says, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is no creature worthy of worship, none worthy of worship except Allah. And Allah said, my Abd has spoken the truth, other than me, there is no other God. Then he said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And Allah says, my Abd has spoken the truth, Muhammad is my Abd and Prophet, I have appointed him as a Prophet. The Mu'adhin then said, Hayya ala salati, Hayya ala salah, hasten towards Salah. And Allah said, my Abd has spoken the truth, he has invited others to worship me. Whoever comes towards Salah with love and with accountability, the Salah will be an expiation for his previous sins. And the Mu'adhin then said, Hayya ala al-falah, Hayya ala al-falah, hasten towards salvation. And Allah says, Salah is the means of success of my Abd. Salah is the key to success, salvation, and truthfulness. He said, at that point I led the angels of Jannah in Salah, just as I did in Baytul Muqaddas. He said, when I went into Sijda, Allah said, I have made 50 rakats of Salah for each day incumbent upon the prophets before you, on your Ummah. I make these incumbent. He said, I continued after the Salah, and I met Ibrahim. He asked me one question. Then I met Musa, and he said, O Muhammad, what did you do? He said, that Allah has told me that he has made 50 rakat Salah wajib on the prophets before me, and on my Ummah too. And Musa said, Muhammad, your nation is the final, weakest of all nations. Allah's command must be followed. Request Allah to lighten the load. He said, I returned to Sidratul Muntaha, and I said, Ya Allah, 50 Salah wajib on my Ummah and me is too much. I request a reduction to this. And every time Allah reduced the amount, he would go back to Prophet Musa and said, go back, ask for more of a reduction. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduces the Salah to 5 times. And Musa tells him, Muhammad, your Ummah does not even have the ability for this. And he said, I can't come back again. We will be patient in relation to this. And he said, then I heard a voice say, since you have had patience, these 5 salah will be counted as 50, each salah as 10. And if one person from your ummah performs a good act, then 10 good acts will be written for him. But if he performs one bad act, then only one bad deed will be written in his record. And Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam said, may Allah give Musa a reward, since because of him salah was reduced to 5 times. It's good to learn these things, you know. It's amazing to read about it all. On the way back from these amazing places, Rasulullah returns to Bayt al-Muqaddas, where he meets up with a caravan from the tribe of Quraysh that had lost one of their camels, as I mentioned yesterday, and they were searching for it. Rasulullah asked them for water. They gave him some water. When he returns to Makkah, he told the Quraysh, in the night Allah took me to Bayt al-Muqaddas. He showed me the after effects in the houses of the previous prophets. I met up with the caravan of Quraysh on my way back, who had lost a camel. I requested some water from them, which they gave to me. Abu Jahl said, ask him, how many pillars, how many lights, how many mihrabs in Bayt al-Muqaddas? And Rasulullah answered all the questions. And the people of Quraysh said, let us wait until the caravan returns. And the Prophet said, the caravan will return to Makkah around the time of sunrise, and in front of the caravan will be an exquisite-looking camel. As the morning came, everyone was in anticipation for this caravan, and they said, the sun is rising, but the caravan still has not arrived. And just as they said that, at the head of the caravan, a beautiful camel appeared, and they could see the caravan, who confirmed exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. When Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam was asked about Mi'raj, he said, the closer you get to someone, the more they want to tell you about their secrets. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he wanted to show him the secrets of the universe. Well, may Allah grant us the tawfiq to be able to get close to him, just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did.